we present Crawford Logan as Paul Temple and Garda Stevenson as Steve in Paul Temple and the Gregory Affair, a serial in 10 episodes by Francis Darbridge. Episode 5, Virginia Van Cleve. Paul Temple, the celebrated novelist and private detective, is invited by Scotland Yard to investigate a series of crimes committed by a notorious criminal known simply as Mr. Gregory. During the course of investigations, Temple meets Chief Inspector Vosper, a young Norwegian called Peter Davos, a Scottish millionaire, Sir Donald Murdo, a young Canadian girl known as Dr. Wiseman, and a certain Mr. Edward Day. A friend of Sir Donald's, a Miss Virginia Van Cleve, has mysteriously disappeared. But during a surprise visit to Temple's flat, Sir Donald informs both Temple and Sir Graham Forbes, the Commissioner of Police, that Virginia Van Cleve was not abducted by the notorious Mr. Gregory.
Where is Miss Van Cleve?
Now?
Yes, now.
She's downstairs.
Where?
In my car.
Get her up here, Inspector.
Yes, Mr. Temple.
But look here, there's not the slightest necessity for you to question Virginia. I can tell you
Sir Donald, exactly. Why do you think Mr. Gregory murdered Barbara Wallace?
Why do I think... I'm sure I haven't the faintest idea.
Why do you think he murdered Mildred Dawson?
Why do... What do you mean? What are you suggesting?
He murdered them because he has every intention of getting his name splashed across the front page of every newspaper in the country. He murdered them because he knew that from that very moment the name Gregory would strike fear and desperation into the heart
of... What are you getting at? What are you suggesting?
I'll tell you what I'm getting at. I'm getting at the fact that, in my opinion, you received a second note from Mr. Gregory, a note you decided to keep to yourself. That note demanded a certain sum of money. You were scared. Scared to blazes. You took the money, paid it over to Mr. Gregory, and your friend, Miss Virginia Van Cleve, was allowed to go free.
That's a lie. That's a dirty, filthy lie.
If you did murder...
Where did you take the money?
I tell you, I didn't take...
Where did you take the money?
Paul, don't...
All right, Sir Donald. I'll tell you. You took it to a man called Professor Rees, address 28 Costa Row, Shadwell Basin. Am I right? Am I right?
Yes. Yes, but I couldn't help it. I'd got no choice in the matter.
How much did you pay?
£15,000.
15? Good Lord.
I'd got no choice. What could I do? Just a minute. Just a minute, Mr. Temple. How did you know about the address? How did you know where I had to take the money to?
I didn't know. I just guessed. You see, Vic Taylor had instructions to take my wife to the same address the night he... But supposing you tell us what happened, Sir Donald? Supposing you tell us exactly what happened after you left Scotland Yard that afternoon?
Well, now, you'll no doubt recall that I came to Scotland Yard and told you that a friend of mine, a Miss Virginia Van Cleve, had mysteriously disappeared, and that I had received a small box containing an earring which belonged to my friend, and a card bearing the word "Wait" and the signature. Mr. Gregory.
Yes, and you'll no doubt recall that I instructed you to go straight back to the hotel...
But I did go back to the hotel, Sir Graham. I intended to follow out your instructions to the letter. But when I got back to my hotel, a rather surprising thing happened. Hmm? I'd been in my room about 5 or 10 minutes, when suddenly the telephone bell rang. I lifted the receiver, and rather to my surprise, I heard the voice of Charles Zola, the man who owns the Madrid.
Sir Donald Murdo?
Yes.
Good evening. I trust you enjoyed your visit to Scotland Yard.
What do you want, Zola?
Oh, you sound a little apprehensive, my friend. Didn't Inspector Vosper put your mind at rest?
You heard what I said, man. What is it you want?
I want to draw your attention to a little point which I think you may quite possibly have overlooked. I refer to your friendship with that charming young lady, Miss Virginia Van Cleve.
Well?
Your visit to Scotland Yard leads me to believe that you don't fully appreciate the fact that if, by any chance, Miss Van Cleef meets the same unfortunate fate as Miss Barbara Wallace, then the inevitable investigations which would follow such an unfortunate incident would involve your personal reputation.
Stop beating about the bush, man. What is it you want?
£15,000. £15,000 to be delivered by 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon.
And supposing I don't deliver the money?
Then you know what will happen to Miss Van Cleef.
£15,000, you said?
That's what I said.
If you give me your address, I'll send you a check and then we...
You have a sense of humor, my friend. Now listen, and listen carefully. Get the money from your firm, not direct from the bank. You understand me? Lock the money in a small leather suitcase and deliver it personally tomorrow afternoon, not later than 4 o'clock. Deliver the money to the following address. 28 Costa Row, Shadwell Basin. Have you got that?
Yes.
You may have a little difficulty locating the place. It's a small shop. You will observe the name above the door. Professor Reese, veterinary surgeon. Ask for the professor.
And Miss Van Cleef?
When you have delivered the money, my friend, information will be given to you regarding the whereabouts of Miss Van Cleef. Is that quite clear?
Yes.
You have made a note of the address?
Yes. 28 Costa Row, Shadwell Basin.
That's right. Don't be later than 4 o'clock.
I should think this is the place, mate.
It's supposed to be a vet.
It is all right. What did you say his name was?
Reese. Professor Reese.
Professor Reese. There it is, over the door. Blimey. Looks like the dog's home, don't it?
I shall want you to wait for me.
Well, how long?
I don't suppose I shall be very long. In any case, don't worry. I'll see you're all right.
Okay.
Be quiet! Well, what do you want?
Are you Professor Reese?
That's right.
My name is Murdo, Sir Donald Murdo.
Well?
I was told to come here this afternoon and deliver this case.
Where is the case?
Why, it's here, in my hand.
I can't see. It's this damn light. I keep telling them about the light, but they don't do anything about it. They don't do anything about anything. Now put the case down, put it down on the counter. Yeah. Would you say your name was?
Murdo. Sir Donald Murdo.
I remember now. I've got a message for you. Now, what was it? Will you have a drink?
No, not just at the moment, thank you. What was the message?
What?
I said, what was the message?
What message?
You said just now that you had a message for me. Please, try and remember
that
it's...
Shut up! Yeah. Oh, it's always the same. Where's the case? You say it was on the counter.
I'm not handing over the case until you deliver the message. Now, what was it?
Oh, I don't remember.
It was about a girl. It was about a girl called Virginia Van Cleef.
Oh, yeah.
Well?
I forgot to ask you, how did you come down here? Did you come down here alone?
Yes.
Or did you bring...
Yes. There's no need to worry about that. Now, what was the message?
Oh, I was told to tell you that there's a seat in the park, St. James's Park, not far from Admiralty Arch.
Well?
She's there, in the park, waiting for you.
I took the cab and came straight back to town. I was frightened and nervous and, quite honestly, I never expected to see Virginia again. I was almost out of my mind when we arrived at the park. Suddenly, I saw her. I caught a glimpse of her even before the cab stopped. She was sitting on a seat, just inside the park. She was pale, and I could tell that she'd be...
But I thought you said just now that she was perfectly all right, and that...
I lied. I lied, Mrs. Temple. She was in a terrible condition. At first, she didn't even recognize me. She seemed lifeless, almost as if someone had beaten the sense out of her. I didn't know what to do. I was relieved, of course, to see her again, to find out she was alive, but I knew that something had to be done. I knew that sooner or later she'd have to see a doctor and... Mm. Well, to cut a long story short, we went back to the hotel. We were walking through the lounge towards the lift when suddenly she almost passed out on me. There was a girl at a nearby table having tea with a young man. When she realized what had happened, she jumped up and came across to us.
Go on.
Fortunately for me, it turned out that the lassie was a doctor. She took complete charge of the situation.
Dr. Wiseman?
Yes.
Go on, Sir Donald.
She took Virginia upstairs to my room, which was on the first floor, and... perhaps I ought to tell you then.
Yes.
Perhaps I ought to tell you that I introduced Virginia as Miss Smith and told Dr. Wiseman that...
That what?
That she was my secretary. You see, I didn't see any point in...
Go on. What happened?
After the doctor had taken Virginia upstairs, I hung about for a few moments in the lounge. Then suddenly the young man the doctor had been having tea with invited me to his table. He seemed an agreeable sort of young fellow, although he was quite obviously a foreigner. He realized, of course, that I was terribly worried about Virginia, and he tried to put my mind at rest.
No need to worry, I assure you, sir. Your secretary is in most capable hands.
Yes. Yes, I'm sure of that. But you see...
Has she been ill for very long?
No. No, it came on her quite suddenly. I'm almost inclined to think it must be some form of food poisoning, because... Here's the doctor now.
Hello, Kay. How's the patient?
Oh, she'll be all right. It's nothing serious, but she's feeling kind of lightheaded and rather hazy about things. How long has she been feeling like that, Sir Donald?
Well, I really don't know. We went a walk together in the park this afternoon, and it seemed to come on her quite suddenly.
Could it have been anything she's had to eat?
No, I don't think so, Peter.
Well, the point is... Is it serious?
No, I don't think it's exactly serious, but... Well, quite frankly, Sir Donald, I find it rather a curious case.
What do you mean?
Have you heard of a masher?
A masher? No. No, what is it?
It's a drug. It produces rather a peculiar effect.
Well?
I think that your secretary, Miss Smith... has been injected with a dose of a masher.
But surely you must be mistaken.
Supposing you're right, what effect would it produce?
Lightheadedness, dizzy spells, in certain instances, a temporary loss of memory.
But it wouldn't be serious.
No. Strictly speaking, it wouldn't be serious.
Well, thank you, Doctor. I'm very grateful to you. If it's a question of fee...
No, nonsense. I've given your secretary a prescription for some tablets. You might see that she takes them.
Oh, by all means. I'll most certainly do that. And thank you. I'm sorry to have interrupted your tea.
Oh, that's all right.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, sir. Goodbye, doctor, and thank you.
Goodbye. No rest for the wicked.
I've ordered some more tea for you, Kay. I don't know whether you'd like some or not.
Within an hour of taking the tablets, Virginia began to feel herself again. She was still groggy, of course, and frightened, but the color began to creep back into her cheeks. We talked the situation over, and we decided that the best thing we could do was to tell the police that the whole matter had been a sort of practical joke.
The young man you mentioned, the one that was having tea with Dr. Wiseman, what was he like, Sir Donald?
I've told you. He was quite an affable sort of chap. About 26 or 7, I should say.
What was his name?
His name? I'm afraid I haven't the slightest...
Dr. Wiseman called him Peter?
Yes.
It was quite obviously Davos.
Yes, but what beats me is why...
Miss Van Cleve, sir.
What is it? What is it, Donald? I thought you said that...
That's all right, Virginia. There's nothing to worry about. Now, just take it easy.
My name is Forbes, Miss Van Cleve. Sir Graham Forbes. This is Mrs. Temple, Mr. Paul Temple, and Chief Inspector Vosper.
What's happened? You told me that you were going
to... It's all right, Virginia. Now,
do sit down, Miss Van Cleve.
I should sit over here on the settee if I were you.
Oh, thank you.
There's no need to be nervous, my dear. We know you've had a pretty trying time, and we don't intend to worry you with a lot of unnecessary questions. But of course
you know what's happened, then? Sir Donald's told you the truth.
Yes.
He's told us a very interesting story, Miss Van Cleve, but quite frankly, without your side of the story, it's rather incomplete.
I've been trying to think about what happened. I've got the first part all right. The first part is quite clear. But after that, it's like a curtain. Just as if a large velvet curtain
You
suddenly...
left the hotel shortly after breakfast. You had an appointment at a shop in New Bond Street for a fitting. Do you remember that?
No. No.
You can't remember whether you went to the shop or not.
No, I... Oh, yes. Yes, of course. Of course, the shop. I remember now. I had a fitting for a grey costume. I remember now. I remember perfectly. I remember hesitating in the doorway of the shop. There was a hat in the window, a little hat with some fur on it. I remember going into the shop and asking the assistant.
Good morning, madam.
Good morning. I was just admiring that hat in the window.
The brown one, madam?
Yes.
Oh, it is lovely, isn't it? Rather expensive, I'm afraid, madam. 17 guineas.
Oh.
Would you like to try it on? Or?
Oh, I think I'll have my fitting first, and then perhaps...
Your fitting, madam?
Yes, my name is Van Cleve. I have an appointment for a fitting.
Oh, yes. How stupid of me. Miss Marcia is expecting you, madam. Will you step this way?
Thank you.
Miss Van Cleve? Miss Marcia?
Oh. Good morning, madam.
I'm afraid I'm a little on the early side.
That's quite all right. We're quite ready for you.
Hadn't I better see about the blouse?
Yes. Yes, straight away.
I was admiring that hat in the window. Your assistant tells me it's 17 guineas.
Yes, I'm afraid it is, madam. Here's the skirt. Would you try it on? Of course, it's really quite cheap, madam. We've already reduced it from 40.
It seems an awful lot of money for a hat. 17 guineas. The skirt seems rather too tight.
Oh, does it, madam? Allow me. Is that better?
Yes, I think it is a little.
Now, if we just... Yes, I just want to...
What? What have you done? What have you done?
Keep still.
Well, let me go. Let me go.
Keep still. Relax. You'll be all right.
What are you going to do?
Just relax.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
There.
All right.
Yes. Is the car here?
It's just arrived.
Fetch me that coat, the one in the wardrobe. Now, as soon as I leave the shop, I want you to make absolutely certain that there's not the slightest trace of her having been anywhere.
That's all I remember. I know they must have taken me somewhere in the car. I know that wherever it was, I must have... But I can't remember what happened after I left the shop. I can't remember what happened.
That's all right, Miss Van Cleve. You've been very helpful.
Let me get you a drink.
Osborne?
Yes, sir?
I want you to get a warrant out for the arrest of Charles Zola. Also a warrant for the arrest of Rees, Professor Rees. And first thing tomorrow morning, get down to that shop in New Bond Street.
Sir Graham?
Yes?
I should prefer that you didn't do anything about Rees. Not yet.
Why?
I should just prefer it that way.
Mr. Temple?
Yes, Inspector?
Do you know anything about this man who calls himself Professor Rees?
Only what Sir Donald has told us.
You've never met him?
No. Not yet. But you know, it might be quite a good idea, Inspector. It's a long time since Steve and I visited Shadwell Basin.
But
why do you think this man, Reese, telephoned Dr. Wiseman?
I've told you why. He said that his daughter was ill and that he had been advised to contact Dr. Wiseman by
his... Yes, I know what he said, Paul, but do you believe it?
Steve, you seem to me to be in a quandary.
I am in a quandary. For one thing, I had rather a pet theory up my sleeve about the identity of Mr. Gregory, and it's just been...
Just been what?
Knocked on the head.
Oh. That's interesting. What was your theory?
Well, you must know, I suspected Sir Donald Murdo.
Sir Donald Murdo?
Yes.
What made you suspect Sir Donald?
Well, in the first place, he... Oh, well, it doesn't matter now anyway. He can't possibly be Mr. Gregory.
Why can't he be Mr. Gregory? Just because he told us an extremely interesting, and I must confess, an extremely convincing story about delivering £15,000, it doesn't
mean
to say...
But, darling, after all he's told us, you still don't think that he's Mr. Gregory.
What do you mean, still? You're the one that had the theory up your sleeve. Oh. Ah, here we are.
What's this place? It looks like a public house.
It is. I'm leaving the car here. It won't be so noticeable.
Where's the shop?
I think it's across the road on the opposite corner.
You've left the lights on?
Yes. Excuse me?
Yes?
Is that Costa Row over on the other side?
That's right, Governor.
Thank you.
Here, don't you remember me?
No, I'm afraid I don't.
You're Mr. Temple.
Yes.
Lanny Knight. You remember?
Oh, Lanny. How are you? I'm sorry, I didn't recognise you.
It's all right. I expect it's the dirty piece.
Dirty piece?
Moustache.
Oh, yes. Well, how are you, Lanny?
Not bad. Not at all bad. What are you doing down here? Bit out of your way, isn't it?
I've just brought Mrs. Temple down to see the docks. She's never seen them before.
Is that so? Go on. You'll be Grandma next week, I suppose.
Do you live down here, Lanny?
Off and on.
I suppose you don't happen to know a man called Professor Reese.
Prof Reese? Blimey, yes.
What's he like?
Clever bloke, gone to seed. Proper boozer. Funny you should ask me about Prof Reese, though. You're the second bloke that's asked me about him tonight.
Oh? Who was the other person?
Chap I got talking to in the pub.
Which pub? This one?
No, the one down the road. Queen's Arms.
What was he like, this man who asked you about Professor Reese?
Ah, smart sort of cove, I suppose. He said his name was Day. I made a bit of a gag about it in the pub. Him and me, you see. Night and day.
Yes. Where does he live, Lanny?
Oh, Prof Reese?
Yes.
He lives over the shop. It's in Costa Row, just round the other side.
Well, thank you, Lanny. We'll be seeing you.
Won't you pop in and have one?
Some other time.
OK. Be good.
Well, here we are, Steve.
What a dreadful-looking shop. You wouldn't think you'd have a place like this, would you, Paul?
It certainly isn't my idea of a vet's establishment.
Are you sure this is the right place, darling?
This is the right place, all right.
Well, Mr. Reese, or Professor Reese, or whatever he likes to call himself, doesn't appear to be in.
No.
There isn't a sound.
It's an extraordinary-looking place, isn't it?
I'm rather surprised we haven't heard the dog barking, according to what Sir Donald said.
I should think if the old boy's out, he's probably taking the dog with him. Let's try again. Hello? The door isn't locked anyway.
Perhaps he's gone for a stroll around the block. We've probably just missed him.
Yes. Steve?
Yes, darling?
Would you like to go back and wait in the car while I...
Why? Why? What are you going to do?
I'm just going to go inside and have a look around. I shan't be very long.
No, darling, I don't want to wait in the car. I should only get worried at the thought of...
Oh, very well, Steve. You can come with me. And mind the step.
Yes, all right.
Shh. Wait a minute. Hello there? Anybody in? Hello there? Anybody in? Come on, Steve.
It's awfully dark. Have you got a torch?
Yes, but it's not very good, I'm afraid. The battery's nearly done. Oh.
What is it? Paul, what is it? What are you looking at?
It's the dog.
Where?
It's on the floor.
On the floor? Is it asleep?
It's dead.
Oh, dead? Are you sure?
Yes. Yes, look.
What's happened to it?
It's been chloroformed.
Oh.
Someone must have taken the dog by surprise.
Unless he did it. Unless Rhys did it himself.
Yes. Although, why should he do that? I wonder if there's another room over here, or whether it's just...
It looks like a curtain. Wait a minute, and I'll...
Damn. Torch has gone out.
All right. I've got the curtain.
It's difficult to see.
Oh, dear. It is dark.
Wait a minute. I've got my lighter somewhere.
Yes?
What, darling?
What do you want, Paul?
What do you mean?
You touched my hand, darling. I thought you wanted something.
Touched your hand?
Yes, darling, you touched my hand. I thought you wanted something.
But my hand couldn't have touched your hand, darling. I'm over here.
What do you mean?
I'm standing over here, Steve, near the curtain. I couldn't possibly have touched you.
But you did. Why? I'm touching your hand now, darling. I've got hold of it, haven't I? Haven't I?
No, Steve.
Then whose hand is it?
You have been listening to the fifth episode of Paul Temple and the Gregory Affair, a serial in 10 episodes by Francis Darbridge, with Crawford Logan as Paul Temple and Garda Stevenson as Steve. Others taking part were Simon Donaldson, Francesca Diamond, Meg Fraser, Richard Greenwood, Eliza Langland, Michael McKenzie, Greg Powery, Gareth Thomas, and Nick Underwood. The production for the BBC was by Patrick Raynor.